Welcome to Canoe. I'm Junior.
And I'm Jordan. We're two pastors, but don't worry, we're not going to preach.
Nah, we think the best conversations happen on a canoe.
Especially ours.
So whether you're on a run, in the kitchen, or on your commute, grab a paddle, hop in the canoe. Let's navigate a river together.
I picked up my six-year-old from school the other day.
Reese.
Yeah. She gets in the car. She throws her bag in the back. She goes, I just did a 31-minute plank today during gym class. I made the honor board.
Your six-year-old did a plank for 31 minutes.
I didn't believe her. I was like, okay. You also said you ran 20-some miles a couple of weeks ago, and then we found out it was 20-some laps. So, girl, you didn't plank for 31 minutes. And all evening, she's like, I did. I was like, no, you did. There's no way. You got something wrong. And then we asked the gym teacher, and they said, no, she planked for 31 minutes during the whole gym class.
Get out of here.
I still don't know if I believe it. Like, there's had to be times where she, like, went down on her knees.
Yeah.
I can't plank for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think what's more impressive is her actually having the attention to just do nothing else except stay in the same spot for 35 minutes.
That's part of the reason I still don't believe it. 31 minutes of planking. Let's talk about discipline, though. Because discipline is the one thing that is often keeping us from what we really want.
It's the one thing keeping you from planking for 35 minutes.
Plato said, the first and best victory is to conquer yourself.
That's good. And I would add, it's probably the hardest victory is to conquer yourself.
That's right.
We talked a while back when how to lead when you're not in charge. Talked about how we all want to be the boss, right? We all want to be great. Yeah. We all want to be significant. But the problem is that few people actually want to take the steps needed in order to be great and significant.
Yeah. Oh, we want to take those steps. It's why in January we all had New Year's resolutions. Yeah. Now we're here in February and it's like, plane crash, because we don't have the discipline. So we're going to talk about Discipline River today. Hope you're in. But first, we've got some river views.
Junior, I want to review my new hobby, nay, obsession.
Yeah? It's not golf.
The world's interesting, so I try to expand my interests. And it's winter. So I decided to go back to my roots. My first job I ever had was a pizza boy.
Oh, yeah. I was a pizza boy, too.
Yeah?
It wasn't my first job, but...
Yeah, my first job. And so I decided, you know what? I just feel like it's still in me, the need and desire to make pizza. So I bought a pizza oven.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Uni's like the nice brand. I bought the Target knockoff, a Captiva. Yeah. The thing looks like a Tesla truck in a pizza oven. So first, I give it 5 stars just on how it looks. Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, cooking, on the other hand, I'll tell you what, it's a lot harder than it looks. I've burnt every single pizza that I've made. It cooks the pizza in 90 seconds.
No, it doesn't. It gets that hot?
90 seconds. So I make my fresh dough. All the prep takes a while, but then all of a sudden you slide it in there and you just got to kind of keep spinning it around in there. 90 seconds.
Wow.
The problem, you keep it 1 second too late, whole thing's on fire. And so my kids, I'm like, hey, it's pizza night. And usually kids love pizza night. My kids go, no.
It's crunchy night.
It's crunchy burnt. Oh, yeah. And it just feels terrible because I've spent so much time making these pizzas.
Okay. So review, Captiva, how many stars?
I'm going with 3 stars. It could be a little less hot.
Wow. Okay, I'd give it a star, but I've never done this before.
Yeah, you got to come over. I'll make you some pizza.
All right, let's do it.
Chard.
So when we hire interns, you know, for the summer or hire new staff and we got some young guys, call me sexist, but I typically only do this talk for the young guys. The ladies in the canoe, glad you're here and you can hear this too. But I always read from Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24:30. This is Solomon writing, and this almost sounds judgmental of Solomon, but you just got to listen to this. He says, I walked by the field of a lazy person. Well, how do you know they were lazy? Well, the vineyard of one with no common sense, I saw it was overgrown with nettles, it was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then I looked and thought about it, and I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. He walks by somebody's property and goes, that is the property of an undisciplined person.
They just look undisciplined.
Yeah, which, again, you might look at that and go, well, that sounds judgmental. okay, I get that. But first off, this is scripture. Second off, perception in many cases is reality.
Yeah, that actually hits pretty close to home. I think of a story of my father-in-law. I went to church. We had a big snowstorm, and I went to church. I slept in, so I didn't pave and shovel the driveway. And
good thing Solomon didn't walk by your house.
No, but my father-in-law did. Oh, my father-in-law came. He saw nothing was done. He went to the store. He bought me a shovel, an ice pick, and some salt.
Stop.
Left it on my doorstep.
No.
I came home. I was furious. I was like, what does he think he is? I had church. Like, I had work. I had to get going. But then the reality, I talked to your dad the next day, and your dad was like, you should have woke up early and you should have shoveled the driveway for your wife to be considerate and make sure she could get to church easy.
Right.
And I was like, dang it.
It's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're right. But in his eyes, and looking back, his eyes, perception's everything. He's not taking care of my daughter. And it was honestly a really good, it was a good move by him. And I hated him in the moment. But
if you're a Bible reader, you might think, well, hold on a second, Junior and Jordan. Doesn't the Bible say that, you know, God looks at the heart, but man looks at the outward appearance?
Hmm. Well, that's still man looking at the outward appearance.
Yeah,
though.
Scripture isn't saying that man looking at the outward appearance is bad.
Yeah.
That's just what we see. That's what you see Solomon seeing in somebody's field. So perception does matter. Perception is reality in many cases. It is not negative. Now, it's bad to only look at the outward appearance, but the outward appearance does matter. And so let's talk a little bit about discipline. Why does discipline matter, first off? Well, it's noticeable. It's the shoveling driveway. I thought about this, Jordan, a couple days ago. I try to walk, like, even all winter, because I get into funks.
You're walking even in, like, freezing temps.
Yes, even in the freezing temps.
God bless
I just
you.
Get into funks, especially this time of year. Yeah. I get into big funks.
And have the walks helped?
And walks help. Getting outside, having some fresh air, you know, getting out in the sun, though it's been cloudy all winter. But I just try to walk all winter, too. So I was walking a couple days ago, and I was getting frustrated at just about every third house. The sidewalk was not shoveled. And I was like, come on, guys. It snowed 2 weeks ago. Get out and shovel your dang sidewalk.
Yeah. I'm going to send my father-in-law to
him. Yeah, right? Yeah. But that's exactly what Solomon was doing when he walks by this field and is all broken down, all these overgrown weeds. It's like, it's the same thing in winter for those of us who have snow. Your lack of discipline is noticeable. It's the unshoveled driveway, as Jordan was just talking
it's
about.
It's the messy car, the messy house.
Yeah. I'm going to sound really judgmental now, but remember how I talked about how I helped the preschoolers in?
Yeah.
And sometimes I open up and, like, you got, like, French fries falling out of the car, and I open up doors and I'm like, oh, man, come on. You know, and I don't want to be that car.
But I guarantee we just offended half of our listener base.
Yeah.
But we love you. Go clean your car.
Yes. And this is what animals. I tell the young guys who join our staff. I'm like, have a clean car. Like, just have, like, have some self-respect to be like, you get in your car. And I'm not saying it's got to be pristine. I mean, if you were to go into my wife's, I clean my wife's van probably, I don't know, every other week is what I try to do. But there's salt on the, a little bit of salt on the mats and everything. But, like, the French fries, the cheese, it's not, come on, let's clean that up. That shows lack of discipline in people, perceptions, reality, people see it.
Not to be fair, though, you're very disciplined, like, with a lot of things. But even your car, you wouldn't even... I was walking in your car the other day, and you said, "Hey, Jordan, can you just kind of pat your shoes off? I just kind of cleaned my car."
Are you kidding me?
Because
am I going in a Ferrari here?
Well, here's the thing: whoever plows our parking lot at church, they salt the heck out of the parking lot.
It's Armageddon in our parking lot.
It's like salt,
Sodom
it's
and
like
Gomorrah.
An army of salt. Lot's wives died. Just pillars of salt everywhere throughout our parking lot. I drove into our parking lot a couple days ago. I'm like, it's 40 degrees. Why did they salt our parking lot today? I just cleaned my car.
Dude, still, it's another. When
I
you have
parked
to,
in the
when
street
you have to tell
of our parking
your friend
lot.
To wipe his shoes off before he gets in the car, it's another level.
Hey, you know what? I was taking my wife on a date that night, and I want her to get into a truck without salting the...
All right, it's noticeable, though. It's noticeable.
People
when you're
see,
late,
yeah. When you're constantly late, that shows lack of discipline. Up and down moods.
Yeah.
Why would up and down moods show lack of discipline?
I think discipline, because when you're disciplined, it creates this steadiness in you because you're disciplining yourself to do things that you don't want to do. And then all of a sudden, you're able to do that because we all feel things that were ups and downs. But when you're disciplined, it bleeds into all of those other areas.
Yeah.
And so when you're sad, you can be able to say, okay, I'm sad, but it's not going to affect my attitude and the way I treat other people because I'm disciplined. This is who I am. I'm steady.
Your lack of physical discipline can affect your lack of mental discipline.
And emotional discipline.
And emotional discipline. And that really matters. It's all fluid. I think so many times we just try to separate all of that. No, how we are physically disciplined, it really does matter how we are mentally and emotionally disciplined. Discipline matters. It is noticeable. But also, discipline matters because it's a lifestyle.
It's where you live. So I think one of the easiest things to do is just say that you're disciplined, or that you have goals, or you want to be disciplined.
Yeah,
it's your dad was talking to us the other day. He saw this study that talks about how it's actually not good to tell people your goals, because every time you tell people your goals, you get this little dopamine hit of it. Yeah. And you feel like you're accomplishing it, even though you didn't accomplish it.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to say that you're disciplined and you have all these goals, but nothing's harder than actually living them out day by day. Yeah. That's the hard thing. But that's what discipline is. It's a lifestyle. Day by day, in every area, I'm going to be disciplined. Now, Junior, what about this, though? What would you say to someone who's disciplined in one area of their life, but they're not disciplined in others? Because I bet for everyone listening, someone's like, well, hey, I'm disciplined at work, but I'm not really disciplined when it comes to home.
I actually say that's laziness. It's what my dad told me a couple of years ago. He said, workaholics are lazy. I was like, what? I thought that's their problem, is that like they're workaholics, they're not lazy. He's like, no. They're doing what they want to do. They want to work.
Mm.
But it's actually discipline that says, hey, you need to get home and you need to invest in your family, even though you like the results more at work. And so lack of discipline in one area and not in the other is actually laziness, because real true discipline is fluid.
It's holistic.
Yeah.
Your car and your house will be clean.
Yeah.
Bed and your, right. Wow.
And we've talked about this on our podcast before, but I really do. Like, this is what I try to remember every morning I wake up. Even this morning, you know, wake up, it's like, I don't want to get up right now. But right now, that is like a pivotal moment. I'm pushing the snowball. If I can get up early before the sun and push that snowball, that affects then what I'm going to eat. It affects my workout. It affects when I get into the office, all of that. It's pushing the snowball when you wake up. It is a lifestyle. And so just because you're disciplined in one area, maybe like you go to the gym. Okay, that's awesome. But if you're also a really messy person and you're not shoveling your driveway, you don't care about, you know, how your house looks, that is lack of discipline. You're doing what you want. You're not doing what you need to be disciplined in. It's a lifestyle.
Why else does it matter?
Lack of discipline loses influence.
What do you mean?
Well, think about Solomon walking by the person's field and it's overgrown with nettles and he's not going to be influenced by that person.
He's a king. That's probably the last guy. He's like, hey, I don't want that guy to be
right.
You know, work for me one day.
Yeah, yeah.
You lose influence. Yeah. And this goes back to the God looks at the heart, but man still looks on the outward appearance.
Yeah.
And so not saying to be all shallow, but no, we should present ourselves in a way that we look like,
yeah,
like we have it together.
How we
because
present
that's how people see it.
That's right. How we present ourselves, it does affect how we influence, which might be a little bit difficult hearing that coming from me.
You look wonderful.
That's right. But if you can't, and we've talked about this before, if you can't lead yourself, how can you lead others?
Yep.
We trust people and we follow people because of the discipline that they have. So have that discipline. Discipline matters. It's noticeable. It's a lifestyle. It affects your influence.
I had one last thing, Junior. Discipline matters. Because I don't think we understand the untapped potential that lays dormant in the human soul. That God, when he sees in his creation, he calls us masterpieces, which is, that's crazy in and of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the God who created the mountain peaks and he created the ocean deeps. And yet he looks at mankind and he's like, yep, that's the pinnacle of my creation.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that.
No, but he made us specifically and uniquely, and he hand-tailored us to do what he says the good works for us to do. Like, he has things planned for us to do, and it just breaks my heart to sometimes think about not just other people, but myself, of like, am I not living up to some of those good things that God's called me to do?
Yeah.
It matters, because God's got a huge potential for you. Don't let it lay dormant in your soul. Go after it.
Oh, yeah. How horrible would it be to like get to the end of this life, we stand before God, and yeah, I mean, it's awesome. We're before God. We have a reward. Like, this is amazing. But to also look back and think like, man, God had so much more for me. It's just I was undisciplined and I didn't get it.
It matters.
So, how do we become more disciplined? We're going to talk about that
after.
Canoes.
It's a glorious day in 2024, Junior. because South Korea has finally passed a bill banning the sale of dog meat. Thank goodness.
Why is that a glorious
day? It's about time.
No.
Poor puppies were being slaughtered everywhere for their puppy meat.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay, I was in South Korea. Okay. Like about, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Don't, if you tell me you ate dog meat, I tried. We're not friends.
I tried, but it wasn't in season when I was there. I wanted to try it, but it wasn't in season.
What do you mean in season? Yeah, it's not a freaking duck.
That's what I thought, but they said, no, dog season is spring. That's when you can find dog meat. And I was like, why? Why? And people I was staying with, they were like, they said, because it's supposed to give energy. And for the men, you know, working in the field. Now, this is a very old traditional thing, but this is for the men working in the field. It gives energy. It wasn't popular. It wasn't like everybody was doing this, but that was the time when you could find it was spring. Wow. And I would have had some for sure.
So the fields need picking?
Yeah.
Go eat some dog meat to get hyped.
Would you, if you could have dog meat, would you eat it?
No.
I would.
Cruella de Vil. That's what we were taught. She's the
dogs. She didn't eat the dogs. She just wanted them for their fur.
Well, wait, how do you think she got the fur? She ate them.
I don't think she ate them.
You haven't seen the movie, dude.
But what's the difference between a dog and a cow?
One is a cute little puppy in that it was meant to come into your home. And the other was for steak.
Okay. Well, I'd try it for the energy so that I could be more disciplined to go after what God has for me.
Junior, you're telling me Air Bud. Lassie, Bluey. You would eat them all.
Bluey? I would eat Bluey in a second. Bluey probably tastes so good.
You psychopath.
All right, so discipline does matter. It's noticeable. It's a lifestyle. It's what you talked about. I mean, it's something that God put in us. I love how you put, like, there's something dormant in our soul, and often it's discipline that really wakes that up. Discipline really affects our influence, so it does matter. How do we become more disciplined? Well, number one, get up early. We've already talked about this a little bit, but get up early and accomplish something before breakfast. Take advantage of the first 2 hours of waking up. Push that snowball as soon as your eyes open up. There's a book called The 5 a.m. Club. I haven't read it. But I've read some reviews on it.
Are you part of the 5 a.m. club?
I'm a part of the 5 a.m. club.
That's so hard. I want to be. But like, waking up. No.
Yeah, maybe.
Waking up early is so hard.
Yeah.
I'm part of the 6:15 club.
Yeah.
We'll start a new club.
That's why your driveway was unshoveled.
I've gotten better.
But this book, The 5 a.m. Club, I've read reviews. I haven't read the whole book yet. I need to. But it talks about how the first 2 hours that you wake up are precious because this is when you're most undistracted. The world is yet to wake up. So you already feel like you're in front of everybody.
Calm. There is this calm of the morning that is unbeatable. I will say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you're less distractions. I guess you're more creative right away in the morning, which I don't know about that because I'm like, I don't do anything creative right away in the morning.
It takes me a while to wake up. Do you wake up and you're ready to go?
No, not at all. I wake up. And I either have to have like a little bit of a cup of coffee, like cold cup of coffee that I put in the fridge the morning before, or there's like, you ever heard of that? We should do a review on this, but you ever heard of that ghost powder?
Ghost powder. No.
Ghost powder. It's like a little, have you heard of this? Jackson
like,
here.
Jack not gonna lie, out, sounds like cocaine to me, bud.
You don't snort it. It's kind of like a pre-workout. Though gamers use this, I guess, sometimes to stay up late. But it's like...
This is cocaine. This is not legal.
This is not. No, this is like a caffeine powder, and it tastes like Swedish fish. You know Swedish fish?
He's just sniffing the whole time.
Yeah, right. No, you mix it in water. Okay. It's like a liquid Swedish fish.
Okay.
Man, that gets me going.
Number two. What's the second? How else
two,
do you be disciplined?
Use TV and phone as a reward system instead of your operating system.
Yeah, that's good. So instead of doom scrolling all day and just having that, you know, be in between what you need to accomplish, use it as a reward. Say, hey, I'm going to bust it for an hour of work and then I'm going to take a little break and reward myself with watching a couple reels or whatever it is. But the only problem is, man, once you get those reels, they're hard to stop.
Well, that's my number one problem is I'll wake up, you know, you're tired and you're groggy. I grab my phone, I sit down on the couch, and it feels so good to sit down on the couch. I'm like, all right, I'll just, what I miss. So I'm looking at my phone. All of a sudden, I look, and it's like, I've wasted 25 minutes sitting here.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And the problem with your phone, too, is it's all connected. Not just is your social media on there, but your email's on there, or Slack's on there. And so then when I'll be going to check my email, next thing I know, I'm 10 minutes deep into watching Reels. I'm like, how did I even get here?
Right.
Yeah. It's like I just woke up, you know?
Yeah. So use it as a reward system. Leave your phone on the counter. In fact, one thing that I started doing, and it does help, is I don't charge my phone at night. So when I wake up in the morning, my phone is almost dead. I'm like, crap, I got to charge my phone. So what I do is I get up, I charge my phone on the kitchen counter, and I just decide I cannot look at this phone until 7 a.m. So now I got 2 hours. I got to knock some stuff out here. I'm going to get in God's word. I'm going to work out. 7 a.m. Okay, now I can look at my phone. And by 7 a.m., I feel fantastic.
Yeah.
Now it's a reward system instead of my operating system. Number three, you want to be disciplined? I already talked about this a little bit again, but see discipline as a snowball. One win leads to two wins. So start small. We talked about this a little bit, momentum,
right? The micro habit, it's compound interest. Yeah. That's what it does. You start just compounding those wins, and they do. But you've always talked about this. If you get up, and I feel it too. When I get up early in the morning and I'm up early, I'm at the gym, all of a sudden I kind of want to eat healthier.
Yeah.
And then I eat a healthy lunch, and then all of a sudden I'm like, well, hey, you know what? I think I want to read a little bit. And all of a sudden it snowballs because you started discipline right from the get-go.
You ever get to the office and it's like you're just really struggling to find the motivation to like do anything? You're just like sitting there like, gosh, you know, I got to write it. Maybe for me, it's like, you know, I got to write a sermon, but I'm just not feeling it.
Yeah.
I will look at my checklist of things I want to accomplish in the day and I'll pick the easiest thing. You know where I got that from?
Where?
I got that from the office.
Remember the
episode where Michael Scott starts his own Michael Scott paper company?
Yeah.
And Pam goes into his house and he doesn't want to do anything. He's just making pancakes.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? Sometimes what helps me is I start with the very easiest thing and then I kind of feel good because I accomplished one little easy thing.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's where I got that from.
I knew I should watch more TV. That's brilliant.
As a reward system.
As a reward. Number four, you got to care about the little things.
That's right.
Well, that's what this whole episode, care about the yard, how your yard looks. Care about your bed being made.
Yeah.
Your kitchen being clean, your desk being organized.
Yeah,
how many messy desks do we see around here? It all matters because it's this holistic discipline of I'm going to be disciplined in every area.
Yeah. This is what we tell our young guys when we hire them on as interns and whatnot. It's just like, hey guys, your lawn, it does matter. If you got a girlfriend or if you got a wife or a fiance, clean her car. Like these are just care about these little things, because what Jesus said is if you're faithful in the little things, you're going to be faithful in the big things. So make excellence. Excellence is all about those little things. So care about the little things. And then number five, we wrap it up with this, the big one. This is why discipline really matters. It is spiritual. Your discipline is a spiritual act. And that's what Solomon is getting at. This is why it's in scripture. Your discipline, it is a spiritual thing.
That's why the church for the last 20 centuries have practiced something called spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
And we don't
even before that, it was Jesus.
Totally. We don't get the term from Jesus, but we see all the things that Jesus was disciplined. He would constantly go away and he would pray and he would make time for this. He was so disciplined with his prayer.
He's up early. In fact, there's stories of even the disciples like looking for him because like we woke up, but Jesus was already up and he went off to pray.
Yeah, up early.
He was a 5 a.m. clubber.
Yeah. He was, he also stayed up late too. He had both, okay? But he would go off pray. He knew the old, his scriptures.
Yeah.
Super well. I mean, he fasted.
Yeah.
So he had all of these disciplines built into his rhythms, and it was spiritual. Yeah. It was becoming the person that he knew that he should be, and that's how we become the people that we know who we're supposed to be. Because that's why we do. That's why we have these resolutions.
Right.
We got these New Year's resolutions because we're like, this is who ultimately I want to be.
Yeah.
You can be that.
Yeah.
But you got to create the systems and the disciplines. Daily disciplines in order to become the person that you want to be. You can do it.
And it sounds like we're toying with legalism here, because in a sense we're saying, man, our yard, how we keep our yard, how we keep our car, how we keep our house, that how we wake up in the morning, our discipline on our phone, all that's a spiritual thing. That kind of, man, that seems a little bit legalistic, but it is true. Like this, God created us to be disciplined beings, that how we represent God and how we take care of the gifts that he's given us, our bodies, our gifts, that does matter.
He has good things for you to do. Walk in them.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to walk in them is by being disciplined as you walk.
That's right. So be disciplined.
Where'd you go? We've missed you so. Seems like it's been forever since we have been together.
Wife beaters.
Oh, this is politically incorrect.
Where'd they go?
Yeah. I used to have a whole pack of them. This is my summer jam.
Oh, Eminem made them popular.
Yeah.
The middle school boys made them national. I mean, they were the best. Wife beaters. They were so cool. Now, here's the thing, Junior. And I'm going to say this. I'm a little hesitant to say this because I don't want someone to steal the idea. So if you steal this, I will sue you for everything you're worth.
Warnings out there.
I want to repackage the wife beaters because you're right. I think it's very politically.
It's terrible.
I mean, why would we ever call something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's awful.
So I want to kind of package them, make them a little cooler, make them a little more trendy, and then call them wife huggers.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No. You're going to make a million off this?
I think millions. Think about it. Wife huggers. It's the politically correct wife beater.
Yeah.
Bringing it back. It could go viral. I'm for it. Wife huggers. Coming to a Kmart near you. Well, that's enough for today, Junior. I feel convicted enough. I need to go clean my life out.
Oh, well, me too. I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite because I got a closet I need to go in.
Oh, no, your closet. I got my car, my office.
No, your car's fine.
Room. All right, there's just messes.
All right. Hey, like, subscribe, share, please. We love seeing those shares. Those are so helpful. And we look forward to being on the next river with you.
Bluey, I would eat Bluey in a second. Bluey probably tastes so good.
You psychopath.